Hi, this is John Macco from Fifth Angel, and we are here with Sonic Perspective.
Here, and welcome to another interview for Sonic Perspectives. This time we have on the line the bass player of Fifth Angel, Mr. John Macco. John, how are you today, man?
I'm doing really good. I'm doing good.
Yeah, great talking to you. And it must be an exciting time for you with the new album, The Third Secret, coming out soon, right?
Yeah. We are. We're pretty excited. We really think this is a great record that we made, and we're hoping that the fans feel the same way.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the album in a while, but before we go there, let me trace back a few steps. You guys started in Seattle in the mid-80s and had two releases then before disbanding, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh. And I heard that the main factor for you guys to break up was a change in the musical landscape when the grunge band started to drag all the attention, right?
Yeah.
It's funny because I heard so many different stories about bands breaking up because of grunge. Even more established acts started to struggle a little bit. It's almost like the price to pay for those bands to be successful was almost too high, even though, you know, particularly I love those bands. But do you feel the same way back then, or?
Yeah, you know, the 90s was really tough, mm-hmm. you know, for metal bands. Killed our career, and like you said, I think a lot of other bands, threw in the towel as well. I think it was maybe only like your really, really big bands that were successful, like Whitesnake and Judas Priest. They were able to kind of make it through that time period, but it was hard. Our label dropped us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that time, it was, then everybody just kind of scattered to the winds.
Yeah. And I have to ask you this because I'm a Rush fan. And whenever I come across anyone who worked with Terry Brown, I feel like I have to ask about him. But what was it like working for him? He produced your second album, Time Will Tell, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What was it like?
He was a real kick in the pants. We really had a good time with him. Matter of fact, I have a bunch of footage on an old fashioned VHS tape sitting somewhere, you know, when we were in the studio. But we had a lot of fun with Terry. We worked hard. They were long days, 10, 12 hour days, but, after we were done in the studio, we would go to a pub or whatever, and we'd have some beers, and he was able to tell, and I'm a big Rush fan too as well, and he was able to tell us some stories about when he worked with Rush, and I remember when we were tracking the drums in Manhattan. We were there for, maybe a week or so. And Max Norman was a good friend of Terry's. And Max came into the studio several times. And he worked with Terry on some things. And I remember one evening after we were done at the studio, all of us went next door to the pub. And Max had told us some stories about when he first started his career, and he had been a live sound man working for AC/DC when they were first starting.
Wow.
And he had some really funny stories to tell about that. So, we had great times with Terry. He had a great sense of humor, and we had a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. And, well, then fast forward to 2010, you guys were invited to headline the Keep It True Festival in Germany. How did that invitation happen, and how did the band get together to rehearse?
That was a total fluke. it was just like, something out of the sky. I mean, before I, well, let's put it this way. So I got a phone call the summer of 2009 from Oliver.
Mm.
And he's Oliver is the guy who books the festival. And before I got that phone call, I hadn't even really talked to most of the members. I was still in contact a little bit with Ed,
mm-hmm.
but I got this phone call from Oliver. I don't even know how he got my phone number. And I had moved from Seattle down to South Florida, which is where I still currently live.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get this phone call from this guy over in Germany, and he's saying he wants the band to headline. And I was kind of like, are you nuts? Are you crazy? who the hell would want to hear our band play, especially after all these years? And he said, you'd be surprised. You guys still have a big fan base. And I thought, you got to be joking. Seriously. So he was like, no. He's like, I'm serious. I want you guys to do this. And I will take care of you guys. And I'm like, I don't know. Okay, sounds good to me. I said, let me call the other guys and see if anybody's even interested. So I did make phone calls, and some of the people were interested, some of them weren't, and we decided that we would do it. And actually, Ted Pilot was originally supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we decided that we would do is that we would, kind of plan for it, and then we decided in January of 2010. That we would all get together. Ken was not involved though. He didn't had no interest at that time.
Uh-huh.
So we had to look for a drummer, and then we decided that we would all meet in January of 2010, and we would do some rehearsals, and then Ted Pilot kind of at the last minute bailed on us, and he said he couldn't do it for whatever reason. So basically we got together in January, we did some rehearsals, then we decided we would do one more set of rehearsals in March, and we did those, and then we went and played the festival.
Mm-hmm. And, well, did you in particular, did you stay active in the music business all these years, or did you have to, relearn all those parts and everything for that
yes,
particular show?
I did, yeah. I did not stay active.
Mm.
So it was a bit of a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
Took me a while. I had to relearn all the songs, and, the songs are not easy to play. They're very demanding, and it took me several months of practicing.
I see. And you guys played the same festival again in 2017, but was the band active between then, between 2010 and 2017?
We had not played any shows.
Mm-hmm.
But we tried to after the 2010 festival. We did try to make another record. We thought, let's make another record. But that never happened. And it was kind of like one thing after another where, things were just not falling into place for us. And after a couple of years of trying to make things happen, we just decided to stop and just kind of, pull the reins in, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were kind of idle until 2017.
Uh-huh. Well, and headlining that festival again kind of laid out the path for the new album, right?
It did.
Yeah.
It opened up the door. And again, we weren't expecting it. Honestly, we did not. Both of the shows we did as one-offs, and we just did it just to have fun. We never really expected anything to come out of it, so it was just kind of in our luck that things fell into place, and Yop from Nuclear Blast, who's the head of A&R at Nuclear Blast, he happened to be there at that show, and he loved our performance, and he came up to me afterwards, he gave me his card, he said, "Hey, what do you guys think about doing a new record?" Mm-hmm. And that's really what got the ball rolling.
Uh-huh. And, well, I think that listening to your first two albums, this time I think you guys are sounding much heavier than I would expect. Would you agree?
Yes, and that was kind of on purpose. We definitely wanted to kind of go back more to that, to the roots of that first record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Time Will Tell's a great record, but there's, let's face it, there's some kind of almost like poppy songs, you know, some are very, not poppy, but maybe commercial.
Uh-huh.
There's some very commercial songs off that record, and that was a little bit pushed by Epic, because mm-hmm. at that time, you know, late 80s, you know, they were looking for hits. You know, we were competing with bands like Whitesnake and Scorpions, and, you know, they wanted some of those type of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And we never really felt that that was really the true Fifth Angel. I think that first record is the one that I think people really resonate with the most. So when we decided to make this new record, we kind of wanted to stay true more to that. And that's really kind of more where we're at anyway,
mm-hmm.
as far as where we're at as people and musicians today.
Uh-huh. And another thing that caught my attention, you know, on the first listen was how strong the vocals were. Did Kendall always sing like that?
Not that I know of. I've always known that Kendall could sing.
Uh-huh.
But honestly, the idea of him singing in this band was something that I never thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of a strange thing, but and it was actually Ken's idea. Ken was like, "Hey," and Ken had been working on some projects with Kendall, so I think he had a little bit better idea of Kendall's capabilities. And he told me, he goes, "You know, dude, Kendall is a killer singer." And I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, "Okay." And I thought, "What the hell, you know, isn't going to hurt for him to try." So when I heard the first few songs that we had demoed, I was really blown away. And the thing is I think Kendall, it's weird because at our age, you know, we're not spring chickens anymore.
Yeah.
But you know, most guys in our age group that have been singing all these years are usually not as good. You know what I mean? They're kind of going downhill.
Yeah.
And whereas Kendall is almost the opposite. It's almost like he's coming into his own. He's actually getting better, which is crazy.
Well, he sounds like Dio on a lot of tracks, the first one and the title track as well, which, you know, impressed me very much.
Yeah, he does. He definitely has that, which is not bad, you know. If you listen back to Ted, especially on the first record, Ted's got a little bit of the Dio-ish thing going as well.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why we decided, to have Kendall do it. Plus, he was already a member of the band.
Yeah. And I mentioned this in my review. The first single is "Can You Hear Me," which for me is an unusual choice for a single because the other songs on the album are much heavier. What made you guys pick that song?
That was actually the label that made that choice.
Uh huh.
So I can't answer the question. I'm not really sure, you know, what their marketing strategy was for that.
Uh huh. Well, because you have, for example, "Stars Are Falling," the opening song. You know, the vibe in that song is similar to Iron Maiden's "The Trooper." That would have been a great choice as well.
I agree, but You know, we have a great record label, and I trust in their judgment that they know what they're doing. And that's the song they decided that they wanted to do. So maybe they just wanted to whet everybody's appetite and, you know, not give away the keys to the castle. I really don't know.
Well, not to take away from the song, of course. Can You Hear Me is a great song, man. I love it, too. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And I love the second song, too, We Will Rise. I think and hope that the chorus will be one of the highlights of your live shows on that song.
So you're saying that you would recommend that we play...
We Will Rise.
We Will Rise, yeah. That one sounds very traditional Fifth Angel, doesn't it?
It does, indeed, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great song. My personal favorite is The Third Secret. I mean, I love that song. I also like Fatima.
Yeah.
Because that's a really different song. That's what I like because it's very unusual, and I love the way that song flows into The Third Secret, and of course the two songs are tied together story wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, they complement each other lyrically, and, you know, they seem to be the core of the album. And I've never seen that story be the subject of a metal song, but it works so well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting story. Of course, you know, explaining that would take up the rest of our time. But, you know, it is a quote-unquote true story, at least according to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, people can, look that up and understand the story.
Yeah. No, I've been to that place. It's in Portugal. And, I'm not a religious person, but, you know, there's definitely an aura about that place, for sure.
That's what I hear.
There is, yeah.
Ken had done an interview with a guy who is from that town, and the guy said that his mother went to a church where one of the the three children that saw the vision, that she went to that church with that person. So that was kind of a crazy coincidence.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of religious undertone in a lot of your lyrics. Is Fifth Angel a Christian metal band?
No.
By definition or not? No.
No. No.
Yeah, well, I like the fact that, well, Fatima and the Third Secret, there's a lot of angles and sides to that story. You can view it as a religious thing or not if you want to. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we are not... we just thought it was an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, European fans are into that kind of stuff. So,
they are.
We thought it was a great title. And of course the artwork, is phenomenal.
So yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Who designed the cover and what does it represent?
So we came up with the design, and we came up with the idea, and then we had a young artist from Prague, Sophia. She drew it up, and she was amazing. I mean, literally in a few days, she already had drafts back that were, like what we described. We originally were going to do something a little more complex. Using the actual description. If you go on Wikipedia and you pull up The Third Secret, it'll give you an actual description. But it's a fairly complex vision. We kind of originally started out with that, but it became a little convoluted, and especially with getting an artist to interpret that vision. So we thought that we would make it a little bit more simple and then also tie some of the similarities of the previous artwork because fans like that. Fans like seeing some consistency where you're, where you, you know, some things that they are familiar with. So especially so the Epic Records release of the first record, we always really loved that artwork. So we decided that we would take some of those things and bring that into the new artwork, and then just basically touching base lightly on the description of the third secret.
Oh, very cool, very cool. And recently it was announced that another original member, guitarist Ed Archer, is coming back to the band, right?
He's already back, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good to hear. And are you guys thinking of the live shows already? And
We are starting to work on that. We have two festivals booked right now. We have the Metal Assault Festival in February, and then we have the Rock Hard in June. And we will be adding more shows, as time goes on.
Uh-huh. And one question about the vocals. Will Kendall take on the guitar duties and also vocals live?
That's a good question, and we're not exactly sure how we're going to do that, Rodrigo. Yeah. It's a little bit of an unknown. Because obviously... obviously, nobody could expect Kendall to do all of that.
Yeah,
that's a little much. So we're trying to figure that out. We are going to have to hire another person. Now, whether we're going to hire another guitar player and put Kendall out front, or whether we may hire another singer to sort of take on the duties, because Kendall is a very unique guitar player, so we don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose his guitar playing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's not even sure himself. Taking on Ted Pilot's vocals is not an easy thing, especially for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're thinking of maybe trying to find a singer. And, having Kendall will sing the stuff off the new album, of course, but that way he can still do the guitar stuff. And, so I don't know. We're not exactly sure how we're going to make all that work.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, what I can say about this album, I don't know if you read my review or not, but for me, it's one of those instances where I'm grateful to be a music reviewer, because I didn't know about the band before, and I was challenged by my editor to write about it, so I'm glad that I was, put in that position, because I was able to check out all your discography to write that review, so I'm thankful for that, man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We're grateful to have a new fan, and we're glad that you like the music. Now, that must be interesting, since you were not previously familiar with our records. You have a little bit different perspective. So let me ask you, how do you feel the new record compared to the other records? And obviously, you can't, production wise, you can't compare it, because the 80s, the production was what it was, but let's just say, how do you feel?
Like I said before, I was surprised by how heavy it sounded and how dynamic it sounded compared to the original releases, and take a song like This Is War, for example. I don't think it would belong in any of the two other albums. I think it's so heavy and so diverse. And it shows the maturity of you guys and the versatility as well.
So would you say that you prefer the new album over the older albums?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, well, knowing the three at the same time, I prefer the new one, And
okay.
like you said, production-wise, you can't compare it, right?
No, of course not. And, you can't, that's the one thing I always see, when people make comments, they're like, well, if it doesn't, if Ted Pilot or James is not in the band, then forget it. And the thing is, they'll say, well, I was disappointed. I still like it, but I'm disappointed that Ted Pilot's not in it or James not in it. And my answer to that is, you can't go backwards. You know, nobody can relive the past. I said, it's impossible to remake what you did 25 years ago. Nobody can do that. And the thing is, I said, even if we still had Ted Pilot in it, who's to say that it would still sound the same? Because we're all 25 years older, and we're all in a different place in life, and we've all grown as people and as musicians. And isn't that, and your music reflects that. You know, nobody can stay in the past. And I think you can only move forward.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the weirdest thing would be for you guys to come back and sound exactly like you did in like 89 or 91. You know, that would be, you know, a move backwards for sure. No one wants that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
To finish off, can you pick a song off the new album so that we close the interview with it?
Dust to Dust.
Oh, cool.
That's a really cool song.
Yeah, I like it too. Yeah. Well, we'll finish off with that one, man. And okay. Thank you so much for your time, and all the best with the new release, and hopefully with a lengthy new tour.
I hope so too. And where are you located,
Rodrigo? I am in Toronto.
In Toronto. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, maybe I've never played Toronto.
Well, I'll keep my fingers crossed, man. Hopefully you can make it to the land of the north.
Sounds good. Well, I appreciate your time.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's it, guys. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this interview with John Macko of Fifth Angel. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast in order to get notified of all our interviews, as well as our Talking Perspectives podcast. Make sure you like us on Facebook and Twitter, and check us out on www.sonicperspectives.com. We'll leave you with the song Dust to Dust from Fifth Angel's new album, The Third Secret. Take care, and rock on.